الحمد لله، نحمده ونشكره ونسأله العفو والعافية في الدنيا وفي الآخرة، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله رحمة الله للعالمين، خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. We praise Allah and we ask Him for the support and the goodness in this life and in the life to come. And we ask Him to shower His peace and the blessings on the last of the prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We bear witness that there is no deity save Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad is the servant and the messenger of Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, for anyone who goes through the Quran with some intended awareness and alertness and sensitivity will notice something that we take for granted. However, I am inviting myself and you to think about it again. We notice that there is a great emphasis and stressing on the idea of knowledge and education. Knowledge and the process of assimilating the knowledge so that people can be educated. We said before that the first revelation, of course, talked about three important elements of any revival based on knowledge and science. When the Quran said اقرأ, talked about the reading, then talked about the writing, الذي علم بالقلم, then talked about researching, علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. So the first time the wahy came to the Prophet gave those three elements to be emphasized. Interestingly, that about by the third or fourth revelation, it was again noon والقلم وما يسطرون, again talking about the قلم and the process of writing. Even the job of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was described ويعلمهم, he teaches them الكتابة والحكمة, the book and the wisdom. So it behooves us to think that great emphasis on that on a society that was generally illiterate, and that the idea of process of educating the people was not very prevalent in the world. So why this illiterate, primitive, Bedouin desert society received that very big dose, divine direction, to sensitize them and to make them aware of the importance of the process? We find that the tools of education themselves, the ability to be educated, in other words, the intellectual faculty, whether it is the thinking, يفكرون, or the deep thinking, يتفكرون, or the reflection, يتدبرون, or the exploration, ينظرون, or the minding things, يعقلون, we find that this is mentioned 126 times in the Quran. So yes, we all knew that, but we did not probably ask ourselves the question, why? Why could it be? Of course, the answer, we don't know, at least I don't know, because none of us can read the intentions of God, astaghfirullah. But we can speculate, because you find something very interesting, that this emphasis resulted in, had very important consequences. Number one, the creation of a very great scientific legacy. The largest libraries in history, the best schools in history, and the discoveries and the different sciences of astronomy and mathematics and whatever that we talk about a lot. It resulted on something that we are not fully aware of its value. The first public education system. Before that, there was no public education. When we look, for example, to the Christian civilization, we know that the knowledge, the education, was limited to the few. Usually the clergy, who read the book in a different language, and they interpret the book, explain it to the people. Because the people in general did not have the ability to get access directly to the book. When we look at ancient religion formats, we find that education was the monopoly of the pharaoh and the entourage and the clergy again. But the common people were not educated so that they cannot get access to the papyrus and the wisdoms that they have written there. The writing of Akhenaton about Tawheed, etc. This was not available to common people. So it seems to me that in Islam, there was a deliberate intention that the general populace should have access to the book, and that people should be educated so that they can have access and entry and relationship directly with the book, without the need for a class of holy people. Each one is educated, each one can try to understand, or should try to understand. Even those who don't know the language, yet they can understand it through educated translation, and if they are educated people, they still can get access to the book. Probably sometimes more than people with their mother tongue as Arabic, and I can testify for that very loudly, and the Arabs don't like me for saying that, the majority of them don't have access to the book, because their slangs does not give them the knowledge of the language of the book. But the what in Quran intended is to educate people so that people can understand the Quran. And why is it important? Because Quran is supposed to be the foundation and the shaper of the personality of the individuals, the values of the society that can result in a guided civilization. If this is the role of the Quran, it should then be available to the common, not to the elite. The moment the Quran becomes only accessible to the elite, you can produce scholars or teachers or professors, but you cannot generate a civilization. You cannot have that general energy that can lead to building up a civilization. having said that, I am personally a firm believer that this is the role that the Quran should exercise in our lives, individual lives and public lives, for Muslims, of course. This is why I struggled a lot since I was young with the verse in Surah 25, verse number 30, which says, and bear with me a little bit, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّي, the messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام is complaining to Allah, يَا رَبِّي إِنَّ قَوْمِي اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Oh my Lord, my people took this Quran as something to be abandoned. The meaning is very clear. It is an aching, lamenting, complain, feeling sorry for the people that they took the Quran as something that can be abandoned or deserted. But the question is, who was he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talking about? Was he talking about Abu Bakr and Umar and Osman and Ali ibn Abi Talib and Ammar ibn Yasir and Umar ibn Khattab? Of course not. They did not abandon the Quran. As a matter of fact, it was every fiber of themselves and in the heart of every activity they did in life. So, who are those? And here hits me the question, could them be us? Definitely more attractive theory than assuming that this generation of Sahaba took the Quran Mahjura. I think probably this would be more applicable to our case than to them. And after all, when the Prophet says, Inna qawmi, my people, we are inshallah his people. And we are people who we should question whether this talk is about us or not, because it is important for us to answer this question. And how we know? Let us see the place of the Quran in our life. We see whether we are really abandoned it or not. And I'm afraid that the answers are a little bit cause of a concern. Where is the Quran in our life? Usually in funerals, in the beginning of weddings, in opening of programs, dangling around the necks of ladies, and put on the shelves, and hanging on the walls. And that's that. Of course, in cars and under pillows, etc. But is the Quran a driving force, a shaping force, to shape me, and to shape you, and to shape our community, and our society, and our family, and can drive us to be civilized? I leave this question with you to answer. I think we put the Quran where it ought not to have been. So it seems that the description is more fitting to us. Do you know that in one Arab country they have the largest Quran displayed? Huge, I don't know how many meters by how many meters, written on gold, written in gold, with pearls and diamonds at the end of verses. And a huge thing. You know that the same country, this Christmas, made it to the Genesis Book of Record because they had the largest and most expensive Christmas tree that cost $7 million. What's going on? what's going on? These are very sharp and acute questions. We should ask ourselves. $7 million for a Christmas tree, and I'm not talking about the Sharia part of it and whether this acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God. I'll set that aside. But you spend $7 million with that amount of hunger and need in our life, of Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Something is telling me that this Quran in golden thing is not affecting that decision, is not even remembered during that decision. So when the Prophet said, Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi ittakhadhu hadha al-Qur'an mahjura, I'm very worried. Those qawmi might be us. And how did it happen? That will take more than the time allocated for us in a Jummah. But I'll touch on several samples, several processes that sneak on us and are working against us without us being aware of. There is first what I call the process of reduction, which is a great Quranic concept, and we reduce it to something small. Quran says, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. Their affairs should be run according to counseling amongst them. What did we do? It's a huge concept. It precedes and supersedes and exceeds all forms of democracy, including Western democracy, as a foundation. What did we do with that? We said, Amrum Shura Bainam, is it all their affairs or some of their affairs? Probably some of their affairs. Said who? Somebody said. Then Shura Bainam, who are they? All of them? According to the Arabic grammar, yes, Quran said all of them. But they said, no, this is not possible, because lots of them don't understand and they are illiterate. So it should be amongst the scholars. So comes, who are the scholars? Who made the scholar a scholar? Was he anointed or ordained or what? Was just a learned person. So is it among all learned persons? And you say, then they came, no. It is amongst those who أهل الحل والعقد, who can tie and untie the knot, or other word, in other words, the movers and shakers of the community, which means the powerful, right? The movers and shakers in America are who? The powerful, of course. Me and you, in the greatest democracy, are neither able to move nor to shake. The only shaker we have is the salt shaker. But the movers and shakers of the community, so for that great concept to be reduced to give the power to the powerful, this was supposed to check the powerful, not to put the thing in their hand. Then they come and say, and after all, who decides who those people are? The government. So a glaring conflict of interest. I get the government to decide who will do the shura, that will decide to defend the people, but they are assigned by the government. To make things worse, they say, is it informative shura, in other words advisory shura, or committing shura? Mu'alima and mulzim. And of course here they were divided. They say, no, shura means that you tell him what the good ideas are, he follows them or not follows him according to. So we took a great concept that we should have been very proud of, and we made a farce. We reduced it to that situation. The examples are so many. There is the process of de-emphasis or deletion. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. You have been the best group created for humanity to enjoy what is right and forbidden. What's wrong and believe in God. What did we delete or de-emphasize للناس? Even some people quote the verse, يا أخي كنتم خير أمة. Stop. What's happening to you guys? Read. You created for humanity. You are in the service of humanity. This is your assigned job by Almighty. But we deleted for humanity, so the great concept of service became a concept of arrogance. We are the best. We are number one. And so on and so forth. I don't have time to give to you dozens of examples where we took the concept that is great and clear and worked with it to make it small and sometimes harmful. So that is something that we need to be aware of. Ask Allah for guidance and for forgiveness. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. So it is obvious that we need a mass awareness and repentance. Mass. Not heroes, not stars, not kings and presidents, not scholars and sheikhs and imams. The masses that Allah blessed them with this Quran. Quran sent it to common people should get the direct touch with the Quran again and put it in its place. كِتَابٌ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ بِهِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. It is a book of delivery from darkness to light, and this should be done by all of us. This doesn't mean that everyone will tomorrow be a mufti or will write his own tafsir. No, this is not what was meant. It is meant that the layer of the Quran, that the scholars of interpretation decided that there is a layer in the Quran that is available and can be grasped by people with common sense. Those people of common sense have a big part of the Quran accessible for their understanding. Doesn't need an academy, doesn't need a big sheikh or a big imam. The Quran says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Don't spy on each other, don't backbite each other. What do I need more than that? أَدُّ الْأَمَنَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. Stand up for your pledges. Be trustworthy in your dealings, and so on. That area of the Quran, which is the largest area, and is the area that causes a change and builds a civilization, is accessible to the common people. But the common people have been intimidated, because every time you say something, what do you know? You don't even speak Arabic. What do you know? You did not come out of Al-Azhar or Saudi Arabia. I'm not a professional clergy and don't want to be. Allah sent me this book to me directly, and this is the glory of Islam. They establish a direct relationship between me and God. So we, the masses, should mobilize towards that direction. Is it easy? No, it is not. But is it doable? We have no other way. Because if we don't, we will always go around and around and around, jumping from all frying pans to all fires, drilling the walls of our imprisonment to end in another prison, unless we get it. And so I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the clear understanding and the clarity of vision and the courage of the heart and the purity and the determination and the stamina to enjoy the blessing of His word in our life. I ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us our trespasses and shortcomings and negligence and mistakes. And I ask him to bless us all, to heal our sick people and to give the cure for the diseased and to mend the broken hopes and the broken hearts and to give us everything good that we are asking for ourselves and our families and our children and our grandchildren, inshallah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. أقم الصلاة.